Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which I will link to below. Joel, I guess the big story for markets today is Target coming out again and warning about future results. This about margin issues moving forward really ties into this whole concept of which companies have pricing power as costs seem to be rising for everybody out there. Markets took a bit of a hit on the back of this. They are still very much range bound, but let's stick to the Target comments here, Joel, because they're not the first, just even in the last month, to warn about issues. And this has actually been Target's second warning for us all. Just goes to show how, I guess, tough it is right now for retailers to pass along costs. What was your takeaway from Target's second warning?
Thanks for having me, guys, today. Twice in 12 days. I mean, how many times are you going to see that? Q1 miss, and along with that report, talked about, you know, those margins being squeezed. And, you know, it was up. This was a little bit different. I mean, they did lower the margins even more. But this was more of an announcement to kind of rectify the problem, right, as opposed to stating the problem. So we weren't looking for, a repeat of the bloodbath where it was down 25%, I believe, from 215 down to 161. In these kind of situations, you know, what can you go on? The only thing you can go on is, you know, the prior past history. And it did get below the low of the move, which was 145.15, I believe. It did get there near during the pre-market, but it kind of bounced. So you could just feel that the buyers are out there. You did catch a bounce. You did, I believe, I don't know if it got back into yesterday's range or not. Still down 620. But it just, you know, it felt a little different time. They did buy the dip. Couldn't quite get back into yesterday's range. The previous day's low was 158.75. Got up to 157.95. So, it's okay for now. I mean, you know, they did come up with a solution and or possible solutions. So that combination with, on Monday, you know, we looked good early in the day. We got near the upper end of last week's range. And then, you know, they started to worry about bond yields and everything. They brought us down. We had the week close. But what they took us to this morning was really the low of the range from last week. We had a double bottom at the 4071 area, 4071.72. Buyers stacked up there. Jumped ahead of the pre-market low, and you got a nice rally. Now, Auntie Jeanette speaking, that's the only reason I saw it. What she said wasn't that bullish. That got us a pop, and that got us green on the session, but that's starting to fade now, and we're just red by a little bit. So trading range ahead of the big CPI number on Friday.
Well, Joel, I think this news on Target is interesting, like you said, not just because it happened, but it's happened twice in a short amount of time, but also because there was a contagion effect today. And, you know, everything from Walmart to Dollar General, Nordstrom's, Macy's, Costco, Best Buy, Home Depot, a lot of things fell today on this idea that retail is going to get their margins squeezed. Yeah. And there was an analyst that came out and said, you know, when you have elevated inflation and demand cooling off, you get margin pressure. So do you think that this is kind of people looking forward to what the Q2 earnings are going to look like for these retailers? And could that be the ghost of Christmas future coming?
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I don't think you can have, you know, really high expectations for Q2 earnings. Microsoft has already come out and told you so, right? When a company comes out and tells you something's not going to be good, it's hard to have expectations that it's going to be better than expected. Now, theirs was currency headwinds, right? And so you could probably expect some more of the same coming from some other companies. So, man, I try and be, as positive as possible when I come on here. No one likes to be the harbinger of bad news here, but that's the way things are setting up. I don't think you can have high expectations for Q2 earnings, especially when a company like Microsoft is coming out and saying that. And also, you don't know what's going on, with inflation. You haven't seen a turn. And It's just, man, when I drive to the gas station the other day, I go on the way there, it's 5:12. I come back on the way back, it's 5:16. So I don't know if they're just going to post a guy up there and, have him stay up there and change the price. But like what I said, I mean, if you're coming in for, looking for a blowout Q2, I don't know if it's going to be there. And then, how I like to stick with my tacticals and, we're holding the lows from last week. But, if you take those out, I think you got a trap door and maybe get back down to the low of the move.
That's a scary aspect, isn't it, though, Joel? Because that would really confirm that this was nothing more than a dead cat bounce or a bear market rally in the midst of this whole bear market rally. But tying into the Target comments and all the other retailers that have warned about future earnings, fact of the matter is, still, the markets are focused on Fed policy that is directly impacted by inflation. You mentioned we have the CPI number coming on Friday. What are the expectations? What's the fallout? Which way could markets move from the CPI result? Because they have been range bound. They could break higher, but if they break lower, well, you've outlined that outcome.
Yeah, 0.7 is what they're expecting. And, it comes in 0.8, anything hot like that, man, Katie barred the door. And I think you had people lightening up, yesterday with that expectations. And then, on the other end, when you came down to the lower end of last week's range, who wants to be short going into that number? So, you need something better than the 0.7. And, that will be key to the market you'll get you're going to have a crazy, crazy up day if it comes in any better than that. So the technicals are lining up, with the market sentiment, and we'll just have to ride the storm out until that day, unless Target drops any more bombshells on us. That's the setups. That's technically and fundamentally, that's what I'm looking at for the rest of the week.
Well, Joel, in regards to the inflation and what it comes out, there may be some temporary news on Friday, some blips in the market, like we see on Fed days when they talk. But when you think about the longer-term picture, let's say that inflation came in at below 8%, at 7.9% or 7.5%. We're still seeing that kind of inflation on levels that have already ratcheted up double digits over the last 2 years. So I think one of the key takeaways is there's inflation, and then there's an inflation expectations, and most people's expectations of inflation are now a lot higher than they were, let's say, a year ago. Even Janet Yellen, as you mentioned, was out today telling the Senate Finance Committee, hey, these are unacceptable levels. Remember, the Fed wanted 2% inflation. There's a pretty big gap between where we are and 2%. So will it really matter that much if they take it down to, anything below 0.7% on Friday? Well, longer term, will it matter?
Yeah, because it might be, a little bit of a signal that, the Fed, after missing the mark, is, try catching up in what it's doing, creating demand destruction. I mean, they wanted it. They're getting it. The market, helped, take things out a little bit, coming down on its own. So, how this market is. It over accentuates the moves on the bad news and the good news. And you have a market here in search of some good news. So I think, in line, no, a little bit worse. We tank and, you come in at 0.5 or 0.6, and then you'll be like, how the hell wasn't I buying this dip?
Well, you know what, the Fed, they're going to celebrate any slowdown in inflation because that's really what they're hoping for. And quite frankly, the Fed isn't going to switch course in at least the next two meetings because they have all but told the market the 50 basis point hikes are coming. That has everyone looking to the third meeting out and then forecasting from there. What about other central banks there, Joel? Because there's a number of central banks that are going through or just starting hiking processes. That also is in fighting inflation. So it's not just the Fed that's hiking. Do they matter at all to U.S. markets right now, these other central banks?
Not to me. I mean, to be honest. I mean, you know what, you know, Europe is in a, you know, in a tight spot with the war. And I think that's something that's kind of been like overshadowed a little bit is, you know, what, you know, what's going on. The European economies are, they're in tough shape. They're, you know, with what's going on with the war, with higher price, you know, fuel and energy prices. So, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm keeping my eye on the buck. I'm keeping an eye on our Fed, and you know, everything seems to, you know, to follow, you know, in line with what our, you know, with what our central bank does. So it's hard enough to keep track of what they're doing. As you know, to throw in there, keeping track of what those other reserve banks are doing, I think even makes analyzing the markets more difficult.
Well, Joel, what about in the aspect of currencies, though? Because what we saw recently was the dollar roll over a little bit because there was finally a bounce in the euro. And some of that bounce in the euro came on the news that they were going to start hiking. The ECB was going to start hiking. So if that was to happen and the euro strengthened and the dollar weakened, would that give the stocks a little bit more room to run? Because some of what's been hampering things has been everybody flooding into cash as a safe haven. If that was to reverse because of ECB hiking in Europe, could that help the stocks?
It just depends what stock and what company, you know. For someone like your big multinationals, you know, the Microsoft, the currency headwinds, yeah. You know, other companies that, you know, are more, you know, more domestic, no. So I think you just have to drill down and see where the companies are getting their profits from. So it's going to hurt some. It's gonna help others. And I think you just have to take it, you know, on a case by case basis. And Microsoft is just a good example there of you know, the stronger dollar is hurting them. A weaker dollar will help them. So they specifically. You know, cited currency headwinds. So if you're in the Microsoft category, the strong dollar is going to continue to hurt. If you're not in the Microsoft category, then the opposite is true.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter, too, is that interest rates are going up domestically and internationally. Does that mean that growth or the high-flying tech sector, all of those stocks that depend on lower rates, are these sectors still largely dead in your eyes?
Well, I wouldn't say largely dead until they take out the low of the moves, but it's, you know, certainly they're under pressure, and you know, until that, I don't think you could get overly excited about that sector until you do see a turn in rates. So, Kathy, you know, Wood. I mean, we use her for. You know, the benchmark, that bottom, but man, it ain't going nowhere off that bottom. So what I would do, like I said, I use that for a benchmark. It seems to be holding up okay, much better than, you know, the remainder of the market. So that's what you need. Kathy's ARGTF had a nice move off that 35 low a couple weeks ago. Rally stalled at 46, but it's hanging there at 44. So that's what I use for my barometer in the growth tech sector.
Well, just one more that kind of ties into what we mentioned earlier with retail, but really ties into all business, and it really ties into the consumer, and that's the high price of energy, Joel. We still have oil up around 119 today. With those higher energy prices, even if we have a CPI number that's a little bit better on Friday, almost all businesses are feeling the heat of the high price at the pump, not just us when we go fill up our cars. Yeah, I paid $6.30 a gallon just the other day in Seattle. So, but do you think that that's going to also be something that investors are factoring in as a headwind to most businesses, these high energy prices?
Yeah, I mean, that was something that Target, you know, cited specifically. And, you know, I thought you'd get some relief maybe from OPEC, you know, greasing the pumps. But, you know, that hasn't happened yet. So it is a big tailwind. And I know crude is not included in some of the figures. But, yeah, that affects industries across the board. And, you know, are we going to have, you know, $120, $130, $150 oil? I don't know. It's hanging up here near the highs of the move. So. That's good if you own oil stocks. ExxonMobil getting an upgrade today. That cleared out the sellers at 100. That's up 412. So, you know, good for some stocks. in that sector bad for a majority of the remainder of the market.
Yep, that is true. Boy, oh boy, it's really a focus on just a few sectors and a few key economic points, but that's been the story of this year, and energy really has been the standout to the upside. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week. Who knows what we'll be chatting about, most likely looking ahead to the Fed, but again, we already know that a 50 basis point hike is coming. Joel, thank you for your time, man. Have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you.